And the main address was given by a United Church minister, and the title of his address was The Value of Music and Art to a Nation. And he said that the hall completed the trinity of the essentials of the life of a community, which he said were industry, government, and art. And the conservatory put on a series of free Sunday afternoon concerts for the people of Regina. And as the Regina leader of December 10th, 1929 put it, quote, while the sun going down sent long shafts of light into the dark building Sunday afternoon, floods of organ music were released. And you know, it does face west, so you would get the west light coming into the building. Now, in the depths of the Depression, the conservatory was still a focus for the musical life of the city. And there are two events that I want to just mention briefly to show you something of the spirit of the artistic life of the city at that time. In 1931, two members of the conservatory faculty, Mrs. Edna Watkins and Cyril Hampshire, put on a concert of Mozart, Ravel, Saint-Saëns, and Rachmaninoff, and all the proceeds were given to farmers who were hit hard by the drought and by low grain prices. And then in 1933, the World Grain Exhibition was held in Regina in the depths of the Depression, and the conservatory assembled a mass chorus, which together with Knight Wilson's Symphony Orchestra performed gala concerts for the visitors to the city during the exhibition. The crowds, undeterred by the sweltering July heat, packed the armories, which is where the concerts were held. And the evening program each night featured the triumphal scene from Verdi's Aida. So in the depths of the Depression, grand opera in Regina. However, in the Depression, the fortunes of the college took a nasty turn. Alfred Carter, who was a student who arrived in September of 1930, remembers Wascana Lake being, quote, dry as a bone. He worked part-time as a janitor in Dark Hall, and part of his duties was to try to keep the hall clean, but he said it was virtually impossible because it was exposed to the dust-laden westerly winds that blew incessantly into the building. And part of his job was to replenish the jar of water that was placed inside each piano so that the strings would not dry out. Also in 1934, the United Church had to give up the college, and it was taken over by the University of Saskatchewan. That was because the University of Saskatchewan agreed to assume the debt, but they would not provide more than grade 12 and first year university courses, because they didn't want at that time Regina to have a full university program that would compete with government funds with the University of Saskatchewan. But what they did say was, we will continue the staff at the Conservatory of Music. And they also, in an accompanying letter to the agreement, they said they promised to maintain the high standard of excellence at the Conservatory of Music and enlarge its sphere of usefulness. And as soon as financial conditions permitted, to open a school of art. And we'll get to that in a second. So this is sort of why the fine arts were so strong at Regina. It was because the University of Saskatchewan didn't really want to see the Bachelor of Arts program develop. So as kind of a compensation, they said, we will make sure that the conservatory and the School of Art are reasonably supported. Now, after the war, I'm moving now from the Depression into the Second World War, which was a very good time for Regina College, actually, because so many of the veterans were coming in and they needed an education. The government was paying for their education. But after that surge of veterans, there was another crisis because the enrollment fell again. And there were questions as to what the future of the college was. So at this point, W.A. Riddell enters the picture as the new dean of Regina College. And I think you'll see by the time I'm finished talking about this why it's so fitting that the Riddell Center has the Faculty of Fine Arts today included, housed in it. Now, as I said, there was serious talk of actually closing the college down. And they were sort of in a money-saving mood, the provincial government was. But it was pointed out to them, well, if you do that, the college will revert to its original owners, which was the United Church of Canada, and the university would lose control of the college. So Riddell came up with a plan to sort of revitalize the place until such time as enrollment started to rise again. So part of his plan was training laboratory technicians, sort of vocational programs. And the other part of his plan was to expand the Conservatory of Music and also to build up the School of Art, which had sort of fallen on hard times. So he appointed a new director of the conservatory, Richard Watson, whose specialty was opera. And he founded the Regina Conservatory Opera. And for a time, they were putting on one or two operas a season. Howard Leighton Brown was brought in as the director of the conservatory in 1955. And the enrollment went up from 600 to 1,500. In 1969. And then when they made the decision, yes, well, Regina College will be a degree-granting institution, one of the first things they did was approve a Bachelor of Music program because of this tradition that I've been explaining about. And that was done in 1964. So very soon after, the new campus wasn't even opened yet. This campus that we're on today was opened in 1965. They already had a Bachelor of Music program in place in 1964. So now I'm going to talk about art, like visual art, as distinct from the music side. I mentioned it wasn't there at the very beginning. I can speculate that their philosophy of education was that they wanted a well-rounded education. That was the whole idea of Regina College. And music was central to it, and very shortly after that, art was included also, because that they just thought every student should have some education in knowledge of, awareness of, introduction to fine art. That you couldn't really be a properly educated person unless you had that part included in your curriculum. So in 1914, we see already a curriculum in art. Classes are advertised in oil, watercolor, pastel, china painting, drawing in pen, pencil, and charcoal. And then in 1916, English Sheldon Williams was appointed director of the School of Art, 1916. And he was a quite well-known artist at the time. Born in England and then moved to Saskatchewan, has a reputation as one of the early important Saskatchewan painters. So he is the director of the School of Art, and this is his syllabus from 1916. And the key paragraph, it's actually one sentence that's a whole paragraph long, is the one near the bottom, which I'll read to you. Like I say, you may kind of lose track by the time I get to the end of the sentence, but you do sort of get an idea of what his approach to the teaching of art is. He writes, "While it is anticipated that the department will be a means of encouraging those desirous of becoming efficient in the practice of art, one of the chief principles the college desires to inculcate is that an appreciation of everything that stands for culture, whether in literature, music, or painting, is not a thing apart from everyday affairs, but it is in its essence one and the same with the requisites of general education and with the instinctive searching after enlightenment in all spheres of life, that it is subservient to the same laws that regulate all other human contact, that the practicing artist has no monopoly in the recognition and love of abstract beauty, and that in pursuit of it, he is as closely bound by the logic of science, although the rules are less obvious, as is the engineer or mathematician. So once again, we have a very strong start, but in 1918, English Sheldon Williams is appointed by the Canadian War Memorial Commission to paint scenes of the First World War. So he gets this fairly important commission. So he goes to Europe and he paints the battlefields so that we have a memorial in art of what the Canadians did in the First World War. So he's not at Regina College anymore. And we do have a kind of a period in the 1920s when if they can find somebody to teach art, there are art classes. If they can't find somebody suitable, there aren't any. So it's sort of a spasmodic existence. Then in 1936, Norman Mackenzie dies. He leaves most of his paintings and the better part of his estate to the college to build an art gallery. And this generosity prompts the president of the University of Saskatchewan, remember Regina College in 1934 became part of the University of Saskatchewan, to start up this school of art again. He promised he would in the agreement of 1934, but he didn't really get around to it until 1936, when the money comes in from the Mackenzie bequest. So they appoint Gus Kenderdine, who's one of the important Saskatchewan painters, to be the director of what's now called the School of Fine Art. And this is in 1936, from the calendar in 1936. And he also has a sort of statement of mission or what he wants to do with this School of Fine Art. He says there are three main objectives. This is in the first paragraph. One, to give instruction privately or in groups to students in the practice and history of painting, sculpture, and architecture. So here we have sculpture and architecture mentioned for the first time. Two, to awaken an interest and develop an appreciation of art by public lectures, traveling exhibitions, and exhibitions of student work. And three, to maintain an art gallery for the cultivation of taste. So they called tenders for the art gallery, and the lowest bid came in at $70,000. Of course, you have to adjust these numbers quite a bit to get a sense of our own money, say $1 million. But this was well above the $40,000 that was available in the Mackenzie bequest. Because as long as Mrs. Mackenzie was alive, she was being paid an annuity, so they didn't have access to all the money. So actually, there's no building until 1953. Between 1936 and 1953, the university just sits on the money and doesn't do anything with it. To me, they might have topped it up, because it's part of the program of the university to have this School of Art. But as Riddell points out, from 1936 to 1954, the university spent no money on capital projects at Regina College. Well, to be fair, the wall of the gymnasium was falling down, so they did have to fix that. But in terms of everything else, including the musical instruments in the conservatory, the money came out of the endowments. No additional money was put in by the university.